that's enough of that. Now I'm going to tell the truth from here on, okay? Because we'll be looking at God's Word. And I want to speak on a topic that I think is very pertinent for our day and our age, because anger seems to be the keynote of what's going on in the world today all around us. It's just kind of amazing, really, how anger has taken over. In the second song that we sang, if you wouldn't notice it. I notice it because I know what's coming. It talked about God being slow to anger. And we will mention that a little later on in the sermon. But if you've got your scriptures with you, turn to James 1, verse 19 and following. We're way ahead on that. Yeah, we're trying to get synced up here. There we go, and get started in the right place. But let me pray before we begin. Our Lord, I pray that you will speak to us in such powerful and clear language that it would affect our heart and change us to become more like you all the time. We know that you are slow to anger, and we're thankful for that. And I pray that we might become more like you in this area of our life too, that we might display our emotions in ways that honor and exalt your name. Now, you are the great and powerful God, and we recognize our dependence upon you and our inadequacies, and therefore we ask you by your Holy Spirit to open your word to us in such a way that it would speak plainly, clearly, loudly, and effectively to our lives. Amen. Amen. It was a few days ago, right here in Santa Maria, that three men got into an argument. One of them got mad enough to go back to his house and grab a gun and go back and kill the other two men. Before it was over, five people had died and numerous houses had been destroyed by fire. People, even teenagers, get mad at their teachers or their fellow students. They go and they get a weapon and they come back to school, and we read about it almost monthly. They shoot and kill people in the school. People drive down the road, and one car kind of cuts another car off, and the person gets angry and mad and chases down the offending party and smashes into their car and attacks them. And you wonder, what's going on here? What's happening? Workers don't like how they've been treated by a company. And so they go and they get a weapon and come back to their place of business and start shooting, and people pay for their anger. Our political scene is, in my opinion, a complete embarrassment, with politicians getting angry publicly and making nasty, vile, and offensive comments about each other. Where's all this anger coming from? Maybe I'm off base here, but I don't remember ever before in my life seeing anger dominate a society the way that it is right now here in the United States. It just seems to be getting worse. In fact, it's not only anger that seems to be sweeping our nation, but our world as well. For these very events that I have talked about also duplicate themselves in foreign countries all over. It's just anger, madness. And when we get angry with others usually get hurt. And that's what happens. If you were to go to a Christian bookstore, if you could find a Christian bookstore anymore, and you would go into that Christian bookstore, you would see that there be many books lining the shelves about anger, how to control your anger, how to handle your anger. They would be helpful to teach us to control our emotions, and most of them would encourage us to get a grip on ourselves because of the sorrow and the physical problems that we cause other people and ourselves when we get angry. But think carefully about that, because the content of those books is mainly don't hurt yourself with your anger, control your anger for the sake of those around you. But I think that this approach only tells us how self-conscious and self-centered we really are. For James, in the first chapter, writes about anger. But he's not concerned about you as much as about the effect that your anger has on the world's perception of the righteousness of God. See, we're concerned about ourselves, and we're concerned about those around us. But James has a whole different perspective. He says, control your anger for the sake of God's righteousness. And it reminds me of the saying that I've used for years in my ministry, it's not about you, it's all about God. Life is about God. And so we need to listen to what James says. And this is the key thought in the whole passage. I'll put it this way. The anger of man does not promote the righteousness of God. I'm going to repeat it, and you listen carefully because I'm going to ask you to repeat it too, okay? The anger of man does not promote the righteousness of God. I want you to remember that's the one key thing out of this whole sermon. Now, you finish the sentence for me, okay? The anger of man does not
promote the righteousness of God.
Okay, that was pretty good. Promote the righteousness of God. All right. Now, that's what James is concerned about. He's concerned about God. He's concerned about how the world looks at God through the prism of his children, that's us, who live here on this earth. Now, James brings up this subject because he wants to promote God's righteousness among men, and he knows that our anger promotes wickedness instead of righteousness. Listen to how he says this, and you can follow along in your scriptures. I'm going to read James chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. And if you notice it up here, I've put in some little Johnson phrases. They're not really in the text, okay? But I think that they help us understand what James is saying, because James is kind of, he writes like the people kind of knew what he was saying, and, you know, us, we come from the outside. And so here's what James says. Dear brothers, take note of this. And then he has three commands. Notice this. It's a three-pronged command. Take note of this. He's saying, Christian brothers, listen up. And here's what he says. Everyone should be slow. Everyone should be quick to listen. And I think that he means here, and I'll try and prove this later on in the sermon, he means be quick to listen to the word of God. Slow to speak, slow to become angry. Those are the three commands. And then he tells the reason for the commands. And here's where our key phrase comes in, okay? For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. That's the reason he made this three-pronged command. And then he gives us what's expected as our response to this command of God, and it's this. Therefore, in other words, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word of God planted in you, which can save you. This is his passage put in here that really helps us understand anger. And this morning, I want us to try and analyze from God's perspective because of the effect it has on his righteousness. And let's do this by asking several questions. And these are just questions I've made up. They come to my mind as I read the text, all right? First of all, you always need to get the context in which he's writing. What's happening that causes James to say this? Why would he even put this in his letter in the first place? And so we need to say, what's the context? What's happening to these people so that he's writing about anger? If you happen to know the context of James chapter 1, What we have is a Christian community that's under great pressure, great pain, having great trouble. And when we're in those kinds of consequences, it's easy to let our anger rage out of control. And so it's not surprising at all that this subject would come up in this passage, because that's what the people are going through. It'd be easy for them to get angry. How would you feel if you were thrown out of your house? People around you were persecuting you simply because you trusted in Jesus. That's what was happening to the people James was writing to. How would you feel? It would be easy to get angry, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be easy to find anger brewing deep in our heart and a desire to get back at these people that are hurting us? I think that that is kind of an expected or a natural reaction. Under different circumstances, do you find those feelings boiling up in your own heart from time to time? Anger springing up against whatever is happening? Well, let me paraphrase this verse this way. And this is the Johnson version, okay? So you won't find this in any Bible, but I'm going to try and paraphrase what's happening here so we can see the whole passage in a short little synopsis, okay? Here's what I'd say. Actions in the midst of pressures which commend the righteousness of God to others are best produced by carefully listening to God's word and patiently enduring without speaking too hastily or saying too much. All right? I think this is the whole idea of what James is saying here in a very short segment and perhaps easier for us to understand. It encapsulates the teaching of this passage directed to Christians who are under pressure, telling us that we can avoid the sin of dishonoring God by blowing our top by looking to the Word of God. However, it can certainly be applied to lots of other circumstances as well, not just being persecuted, not just being thrown out of your home. That's what engendered his writing here. But for us, it can be anything that comes into our life that stirs up that emotion of anger. How many times do Christians strike out at each other in similar circumstances? How many board meetings have been sprinkled with ungodly anger and its accompanying false accusations and bitter attacks? How many business meetings have seen the unbridled tongue let loose, destroying unity and undermining the righteousness of God? How many men's and women's ministry meetings, youth events, has anger reared its ugly head? How often in Christian homes does a person control others and get their selfish way through anger rather than a quiet appeal to the Word of God? How often is the Word of God set aside and the anger of man allowed to rule in our lives? You see, it's not just first century Christians under pressure. It's the pressure of our lives and all that happens around us. For while the danger of damaging anger is especially acute when we're under great pressure, the possibility of our wrath working the wickedness of the devil lies close at hand in our lives all the time. So we need to see that this passage was written to a particular situation, that is, Christians who are being physically abused and persecuted, but it applies to us in our situations wherever we are. So that's the context. Christians who are in danger of losing their temper and destroying or harming the world's view of the righteousness of God. So let me ask the second question. This is the next one that popped into my mind. Is all anger wrong? In other words, can we never get angry? My answer is, I think the Scripture's answer is no. Not all anger is wrong. Righteous anger is frequently attributed to God himself in Psalm 7:11. God is a righteous judge, a God who expresses his wrath every day. God has this emotion as well. Or in Mark 3:5, Jesus gets angry. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and the man's hand was completely restored. And then Paul makes a statement in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, that tells us that there is some anger that is not sinful, because he says, "In your anger, do not sin." You see the implication of that statement? In your anger, don't sin. So apparently there can be an expression of anger that does not evolve into sin. Then he adds, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. So James's goal is not to eliminate anger, but to control its origin and direct its actions in a godly manner. Sinful anger is born for the wrong reasons when, for example, it's caused by envy or pride or jealousy or somebody offending our sense of self-worth, and it is sinfully expressed when you blow up, Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Anger that demonstrates God's righteousness is that which drives us to the Word of God for a solution to the situation that we find ourselves in. And now this leads us to our third question that I would ask the text. And I hope you will agree with me that not all anger is sinful, because I know I get angry too. And I think that most of you will admit you do from time to time as well, right? But it's not necessarily sin if it's expressed the right way, according to the guidelines of God's Word. So let's ask our most important question. How are you, as a Christian, to handle your anger? See, this is the application. Okay, we've built the case. Now, how do we handle anger in such a way that it does not denigrate the righteousness of God, but promotes it in this world? And James, I think, gives us two answers. He gives us a positive one, do this, and then he gives us a negative one, don't do this, okay? First, he tells us to go slow. That's verse 19. Be slow to speak, and it probably means be slow to speak when you are angry. That's the only logical explanation. Be slow to speak when you're angry, and be slow to get angry. Notice that one of these has to do with the origin of anger. Be slow to get angry. And the other one has to do with the expression of anger. Be slow to speak when you are angry. What's that old saying that maybe they still use it? When you get angry, what do you do? Count to 10 before you say anything? And I think that that's probably, the idea for that is actually taken from Scripture. Say, just when you get angry, just be slow to say anything, all right? Keep your mouth closed for a little while. Think about it. Be slow to speak. Be slow to get angry. Often in Proverbs, God commends the person who is slow to anger. Listen to some of these Proverbs. 14:29. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. Or 15:18. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. 16:32, better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. And in this respect, when we look at these guidelines of God's Word, and it tells us how to handle our anger, and when we do it within the guidelines of God's Word, then we reflect the character of God. Because in Exodus 34:6, it says, "The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger. See, and that's what the scriptures would have for us, to reflect the character of God, how God displays his emotion of anger, is to be slow to anger. And that's what he wants from us. People, be slow, not quick, be slow. Be slow to anger. Now, I can hear you saying to yourself, "Well, Pastor, that's great advice, but how can I do that? You just don't understand my temper, or you just don't understand my husband, or you just don't understand the situation I'm in. If you only knew, I've been this way all my life, and I can't change." You ever use those excuses? Something like that? Well, God never commands his children to do anything that he does not give them both the wisdom and the strength to accomplish. In fact, I think that our lives show that we can control ourselves. We can control our temper when we really want to. Let me give you a little scenario, all made up, because I know this never happened to any of you. But, all right, here's a case where I think it shows that we can control our temper when we want to. All right, let's say you're a mother of a couple of preschool kids. And all day they've been after you, picking and doing everything you tell them not to do and not doing what you ask them to do. And they're proving the truth of the doctrine of the depravity of man. I mean, they're just terrible this day. And you've put up with it, and like you mothers always do, you have to put up with stuff like that. And I'm talking about teenagers, not their husband now, okay? These little kids, not their husband. And you just had it, finally. You just can't take anymore. You've had it, and you blow up. And you're saying things, and you're yelling things, and your kids are running for cover, and they're hiding behind the couch and other places, and they're kind of watching as this temper just out of control. It just pushed past the point of no return. And those kids are trembling and wondering, what are we going to do? Or are we going to live or not? And all of a sudden the phone rings. And in your anger, you walk over, and you pick up the phone and you say, "Hello? Oh, Susie. Yes, I'm fine. Everything is going great. Thank you. And by the way, that was a beautiful dress you had on Sunday." And the conversation goes on. And your kids are peeking out from behind the couch and they're scratching their head and they're saying, "What's happened to Mom? What's going on here?" Now, I made up the situation, but only to show you that in real life, when we want to, we can control our anger and we can switch it off just like that. Maybe you relate to that. You can do it. And we do it when the situation changes just a little bit. Well, we have the ability to control ourselves, but we don't always want to. The Bible does not allow for any uncontrolled anger, not in the church, not in the school, not on the job, and especially not at home. And the real reason the Bible doesn't allow for any uncontrolled anger is that it does not commend the righteousness of God. It does not promote the righteousness of God. And it's not because of what it does to your stomach or your blood pressure. It's because of how it offends the righteousness of God. And I wish that we understood that better. James makes it very clear. That's when anger becomes sinful, is when it starts to denigrate the glory and the righteousness of our God. That's sinful anger. When it gets to that point and does that. Now, that's the kind of the negative. Be slow. Be slow to speak when you're angry. Be slow to get angry. Now there's a positive. He tells us to be slow, but then he tells us to be quick. It says, be quick to listen. And I told you before, I think we need to add on here, be quick to listen to the word of God. It's not a command to listen to just anybody. You don't quickly turn on the radio and listen to Dr. So-and-so give you, you know, you don't listen to other people. Be quick to listen to the word of God. And why I'm confident in saying that is in this context, if you'll look at verse 21, it says, humbly accept the word which is implanted in you. Humbly accept God's word. And he's just said in verse 19, listen, be quick to listen. And then he says, humbly accept it. And then in verse 22, he repeats it again. Do not merely listen to the word. He says, don't just let it bounce off your eardrums. Do something about it. And so it must mean the same thing in verse 19 as it does in verse 21 and 22. Be quick to listen to the word of God. Now, I think we can make three applications from this, all right? First, there is nothing wrong with an anger that drives us to the Word of God for wisdom and insight. See, that's what should happen in our lives. Always, what does God say about this? What do I know from God's Word? Anger that is sharpened or shaped by the Word of God and expressed within the boundaries of that Word, it does not offend God's righteousness. When a situation in our life causes us to be angry and we don't know how to handle the circumstances, we go to God's word for the answers. And to question, and our questions, instead of taking action on our own, then that anger becomes rightfully directed. God's word tells us how we're to speak and act toward people or circumstances that make us angry. And when we follow his commands, then we commend the righteousness of God. Now, think for a minute of a situation like this, where you are grossly offended, maybe even physically attacked, whatever the case might be. And you don't get angry, and you don't strike back, but you handle it according to God's word, and you're slow to speak, and you're patient and enduring. And people see that, and they know you're a Christian. Do you see how that promotes the righteousness of God? Because they're going to see you handling it right, and they're going to see you doing according to the word of God, and they're going to honor God's righteousness. And that's what he's about here. Handling anger according to and within the boundaries, the parameters of God's word. Secondly, it tells us how important it is for us to listen to God's word at every opportunity. In verse 21, it talks about, I memorized that the implanted word of God. I think that our text uses a different word, but the idea is the word of God is already in here and growing, okay? It's implanted. And I don't believe that when we get angry, we run and get the family Bible and open it up and put our finger down and say, okay, what's it got to say about anger? No, that's not what I mean here. I think that's what James means, because he uses this word very carefully. The implanted word of God, I think that he has in mind here, when you get angry, there's the word of God that you have hidden in your heart to the extent that you already know what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to respond. See? It's the implanted word that you listen to, and you have to listen to it. It's there, and you know it, but you have to listen to it and do what it says. And that's exactly what he's talking about in our text. And so what I would say here is the application is, it's important for us to read God's word. It's important for us to Yeah, even listen to sermons if they're not too dry, right? And it's important for us to study God's Word and go to Bible studies and things like that. All those are important so that we build up this great cache of Scripture in our heart so that we already know what we're supposed to do. When the situation arises, you don't even have to think. You just have to listen to God's Word because it's speaking from inside here and telling us exactly what we're to do. And the third application goes along with what I've already been saying, and that is humbly accept the Word of God. It means that we must make room in our hearts for the life-giving instruction of the Word of God. How are you ever going to control your temper and all of the unrighteous action that it produces? By humbly welcoming the truths of God's Word into your life. Don't resist God's Word. It's not, I can't change. I'm too old. I've acted this way all my life. I learned from my father how to be angry. I learned from somebody else. It's their fault. It isn't. It doesn't have to be that way. And if we humbly accept what God's Word tells us, then we know we can change. We can keep from sinning in situations like this. Don't resist God's Word. Accept and welcome God's Word. Expect the Spirit of God to change your old way of thinking and acting, making all things new. It can happen. Your anger can be controlled. Your anger must be controlled because when God's Spirit applies His Word to the humble and receptive heart, old things are put off and new things take shape. People, even this is all about God. See? Our whole lives are all about God. And I pray that the anger of this world will never touch you. But I know that it's going to affect you. What you see and what you hear and what you read, it's all filled with vitriol. And in this world, we, more than ever before, need to show like a bright light the righteousness of God. Because we can handle, according to God's Word, these difficult situations. Amen.